of your mic stands? Those are like pro podcasting mic stands.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
They're pretty good.
The arms.
The Amazon Basics, you know.
Okay. All right. That was my nickname in high school, Amazon Basic. And also beautiful red Axl Rose pop filter on your mic. That's cool too.
I got all colors of the rainbow. That was my strategy.
That's good.
Even if it sounds crappy, it'll look cool.
That's cool. Just depending on your mood, that's what you decide to put on there?
Pretty much, yeah.
So right now you're mad at him, so you put that one.
Red love.
Red is also the color of love, exactly.
That's true. Aww. Happy Valentine's Day. Are you guys in Toronto?
Yep,
we are.
Downtown Toronto.
All right. Well, we're in Vancouver.
Beautiful. How is it there today?
It's okay. It hailed yesterday for like 10 minutes and then now it's kind of warm. I don't know. We're in a sound stage and it gets like so cold in here because there's like a big foldy open door. Yeah. So sometimes we're freezing. We're
you don't like, have right. to tell us about foldy open doors.
Yeah.
That was your nickname in high school. Alexi wore her best fur today. So her yes. best faux fur.
My best faux fur.
Nothing says respect like faux fur. I appreciate it.
I agree.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. We all look great. Congratulations on the release of For Heaven's Sake.
Thank you very much.
How crazy is that?
It's pretty wild.
Wild, yeah.
It's been a great couple days. I guess 5 days now since it's been out. So
wow, did you get just texts? Like it's so unreal to see someone you know's work on streaming platforms that are readily available. So you must have gotten all kinds of cool texts and stuff.
It's crazy. It's like from people as close as my mom who's in it to like the people you haven't talked to in years.
Yeah.
Like from your grade school. It's just like, hey, I just watched it with my family and we loved it.
No way.
Oh, cool.
There's just so much warmth and just love for the series, which is, yeah, I guess we haven't been on that end where it's like we release a series and everyone's just like, it's okay. Very, very good position to be in. So
yeah,
I'm kind of feeling great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
because of the nature of the show. We're also getting messages from people saying, oh, my uncle went missing too. Or my aunt has died in 25 years ago, expecting us to sort of hop on the case. But
crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure. You guys,
a lot of pressure. Yeah.
You put yourself in a position now where everyone thinks, well, why wouldn't they help me? They helped.
Yeah. I got put in a Facebook group someone messaged me last night. I was like, these little boys were murdered in the 70s.
Oh, no.
We're our only hope.
I know.
And I was like, why are we?
I don't want to give anyone false hope.
Guys, solve the case.
That's just not fair.
Yeah. Wow. Well, congratulations. That's so cool. I love also the idea that you put your mom on a show and it's like, you know what I mean? It's like if my mom was just suddenly in a TV show, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just no, that was never a goal. And then all of a sudden just to be in like a sort of a mainstream product is like so crazy too.
That was the wild part, was not just my mom. Like, have you guys seen it? It's okay if you haven't.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry. But the only reason I bring that up is because like it's got my whole extended family in it.
Yeah.
So it's like my aunts, my uncles, my grandma, my mom. And the running joke with Jackson and I, when we put my mom in like our comedy sketches prior to the show, she would always get cut. So even until the trailer came out, she was like, I'm going to get cut. I don't think it's going to be serious. So, she's in there for most of the episode.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, I was cut from Happy Gilmore when I was 9, so I totally feel her pain.
Oh, that hurts.
I know.
That hurts.
It is true. It was filmed in Vancouver. Adam Sandler was my hero. And then we went with our babysitter, and our babysitter's in it. It's not fair.
Not fair at all.
You didn't even care about the Sandman. It's not fair. It's no That's karma. Incredible. Yeah. Were you two ever extras in anything?
I used to do something called LSP, which is basically like location. You basically watch pylons for 12 hours on film sets.
Yeah.
And I did it on Suicide Squad.
No way.
Yeah. And so like Margot Robbie would walk past me and like Will Smith walks past me.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was just like Will Smith did one of those and he's like, what's up, my man?
Ah, cool.
I know. So I was the giddiest little boy.
That's the coolest thing.
I know. Yeah, but that's basically my only taste of feeling. Because extras are treated poorly. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. LSP sounds like discount acid.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallucinogenic. It's a position on a film set.
That would be, you just take LSD to be an LSP, just like a pine cone would be way.
You have enough down.
Pine cone.
And I feel really guilty. We didn't watch it yet. I'm so sorry. Yeah. We're doing this festival and we're doing like 7 or 8 straight hours of interviews every day. And at the end of the day, me and Alexi just do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
For
I don't
weeks,
blame you at all.
For weeks now, we actually got stood up by Eric Griffin from Workaholics today. No. So
yeah,
it's actually the third time.
Yeah.
He's not worth a fourth. Don't bother.
I am determined to do this, and I'm determined to make him feel extremely guilty. I feel like it's possible.
Yeah, like we've already come this far now. Like,
yeah, exactly.
We're like, now we have to get him on.
The funny thing into is that she will press record, and we'll be filming ourselves waiting. And so it's documented how disappointed we've been all three times.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be its own episode.
Yeah.
You probably have enough dead air to fill a whole episode at this point.
A little bit of commentary too.
He's just like, he's not coming.
Yeah, just that's waiting for Griffin.
That is exactly what. Yeah. Well, his podcast is called Riffin' with Griffin, so we're going to call that one Not Riffin' with Griffin.
Yeah,
didn't show.
We
up.
Tried to riff with Griffin. Yeah. We did our best.
Wow. So, how did the Funny or Die relationship start?
We, like Mike said, we've been making sketch videos for a long time. And one of our first big accomplishments to us was getting featured on Funny or Die on the website.
That's amazing.
They put us on the front page.
Holy shit.
We texted everybody. That was our big thing back then, right? It was very cool.
Yeah.
We were very excited. And we sort of developed a little bit of a relationship with the people that were posting back then.
Okay.
So whenever we sent them stuff, usually they would post it. And it got to the point where, you know, we had some longer form stuff. We had written the pilot and filmed it, and we sent them, asked them if they had any notes on it. Mm-hmm. And they invited us to come down to Los Angeles and sort of pitch it to them.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. We did, and they were super complimentary and helpful, and they didn't pick it up obviously, but they helped us sort of hone into what was good about it and how to pitch stuff like that. And so when this project came along, we thought of them mostly because of American Vandal, which they also produced, which is like, you know, a mockumentary take on true crime. Whereas we wanted to do a real documentary, a real true crime documentary, but just with a hint of comedy because of who we are. And that's just our sense of humor.
Yeah.
So that's why that's how the relationship formed. And lucky enough that they were interested in the project and ended up getting on board and, you know, co-producing it with us.
Wow, that's so great. You were able to sort of build on a relationship for so long. And it's cool, too, that they must genuinely really believe in it, considering they've passed on things in the past, but kept sort of like talking to you. So that's so real. That's so cool that they would do that.
No, they were so kind. Even like to Jax's point, it was funny because when our short form stuff would get featured, it got to the point where it got featured so often that we started like, when something didn't get featured, we'd be like, what the heck? I didn't mean like this one. What the heck? The long form stuff, it was, one of the development guys there is like the most Hollywood guy you've ever met. Greatest guy.
In a good way.
Bubbly and like knows the business so well. So he took this documentary and really helped us like,
oh, that's great.
Just frame it into a pitch, like digestible thing in a boardroom, which was
Because we pitched it to CBC first.
Yeah.
And we just went in and sort of told the story and talked as ourselves.
Yeah.
And for the States, he was like, no, they expect a full song and dance. We wrote a 45-minute script that you're going to go through. And it was a song and dance, but it was absolutely what they were looking for. And it ended up getting the show bought. So happy to do it.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's interesting. we were talking to Neil Brennan, who co-created Chappelle Show, and he's gone and done tons of those pitches. And he was saying, like, if you go in and compare your product to something that wasn't a massive success, they'll think that you're trying to sabotage yourself. Like, they'll be like, why would you bring up that movie? Like, it's like you, like, it's almost like, it's so weird how gatekeepers for creativity in the entertainment industry, the gatekeepers typically aren't creative at all. And so they don't really have the imagination typically to be, to like put together what you're talking about, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah,
they need that touchstone, that idea that they can latch on to.
Yeah.
For the rest of the meeting, they'll at least have that in the back of their mind to compare it to.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
There was a lot of, like we pitched everywhere in the LA, and there's a lot of, cause it was 45 minutes and it's such a unique idea mm-hmm. that right off the bat, you could feel a cold room.
And like, no.
I just remember Comedy Central when we went in there. They both looked at us for 45 minutes. Like, we could never do
this. Oh, no.
Yeah. And we could feel it pretty immediately, too. And we're like, oh, we're only 8 minutes in. Let's,
yeah. Oh, no. Like so the pitch.
My detective partner.
Like, yeah. The pitch itself was 40 minutes?
45 minutes. Yeah. We had like a whole slideshow. We had videos. We had sort of examples of, you know, theories we had for the case. We had a whole thing lined up.
Wow.
That we just recited day after day after day for weeks. And hey man, it works. So
yeah, no kidding. It's crazy how you started at CBC and then at a certain point where the office at Comedy Central, like after that.
Mm. Yeah. That was surreal. That was
very surreal.
Yeah. We were like, we didn't shy away from the fact that like we were little fish in a big pond. Like we were taking water bottles from these offices, like Netflix. We're taking the candies and the coffee cups. We're like, this is so cool.
Yeah. Like when you said that you had videos on the front page of Funny or Die, you're like, yeah, that was impressive to us back then. That's so impressive to me. Oh. The fact that you had a meeting at Comedy Central and Netflix is so impressive. That's so cool.
It was very cool. It was very, very cool. And now that the show's out, we have like been able to reflect on each little bit that was cool along the way to end up with such a cool journey of all. It's been awesome.
Yeah. Are you two true crime podcast fans?
Yes and no. I mean, I'll speak for myself. Absolutely. The thing about like doing your own true crime, I feel like I burnt out on it for a while.
Okay.
So like when we were making it, I was kind of consuming everything. And then like by the time we were a year and a half into the process, I was kind of like anything but true crime. Give me anything but true crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt the exact same way. Just, It was like we were rewatching the Jinx and like writing, like structuring how they structured the first episode.
Wow.
We like listened to nonstop murder podcasts.
Yeah.
It actually is pretty taxing. Like kudos to people that, really like
that do 400 episodes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Murder. Yeah.
Alexi loves true crime podcasts.
Yeah.
The more graphic and mean spirited, the better. Yeah. She loves it.
The gorier, the better, right?
Yeah.
Oh, just my favorite murder.
The classic.
Classic.
That was actually one of the touchstones we used in the pitching process because have a little bit of fun with, you know, true crime.
They really do.
So it was somebody we looked at. Absolutely. And it's a great podcast. Mm-hmm.
That must have been like how you were saying humor is just a part of your personalities. It must have been a little bit tricky to like kind of tease things without being like disrespectful of the subject matter, huh?
Oh yeah. It was the tonal balance was the thing that was talked about from like the pitching all the way to like we locked episode 8 3 weeks ago and we're still having the same conversations of like when a joke hits the cutting room floor for the true crime engine, or like we really had to figure out when we were punching down on the case and when we were just like being friends and joking around. Like a lot of it's just Jackson and I roasting each other. And then when it's about Harold, who's the man who went missing, it was more the facts of the case and really had to be respectful there.
Yeah.
Tightrope.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And your mom's there too. Yeah. Just yet another obstacle. Wow. Yeah. So after this, do you feel like you'll do more true crime projects or do you want to sort of lighten things up a little bit for yourselves?
I think we'll see. I mean, you know, the response has been really great from this. Yeah. And we had a ton of fun making it. You know, all the taxing stuff aside, at the end of the day, it was an absolute blast to do.
Yeah.
So we're definitely open to it. It's not just as simple as, you know, pick up and what's the next case we can pick up, you know? It really yeah. does. There's a lot of thought that goes into it, but it's definitely something we're going to explore.
Yeah, I guess it's a pretty niche genre when it's a missing family member.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Mom, do we have any other? I want to do a exactly. sequel.
Yeah.
What do you mean no one else went missing?
You know, if you guys took a few more chances when you're younger.
What about buried treasure? What about
yeah,
what
yeah,
about
yeah.
buried treasure?
Yeah, yeah. Any alien abductions? Do you two, have you either of you ever had any paranormal experiences?
I can't say as I have.
Mm. No, yeah. After this documentary, it's funny how many family members are reaching out being like, I felt a strong presence on the bridge by where Harold went missing. And like, I felt like they're all just kind of talking about all these like ghost stories now that it's out. And they're like, yeah. I think he still walks the night.
Yeah.
We talked to a psychic in the show that ended up getting cut, but because of exactly what we said, the tonal balance. Okay. She kept saying Harold, like she channeled Harold, and she kept saying he thought I was soft, which was just the worst.
That is, oh, no. I was going to make a joke that probably cut the psychic because she made too many tasteless jokes, but that is exactly what happened, it sounds like. Either that or she was calling you a pussy. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, a little bit.
So her profession is just roasting. Like, uses dead people to roast.
She's just a bully.
She's just a bully.
You go to pay her at the end. She's like, this one's on me. That was fun.
I got
that was
a lot what I needed fun. Here. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
This is for me.
Yeah, your dead dad. Yeah, he said he wants to fight you. One punch you. Yeah.
Man, I haven't heard the term one punch in a long time. That was like a high school favorite.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I one punched him.
I don't know why that came back there. You know?
I like that. Let's use it. Let's bring it back. I was also on a podcast we just did, someone used the term spunked, which I haven't heard in a long time.
I'd never heard of it.
Spunked? Is that...
Yeah, like jizz.
Okay. I don't know if I could say it or not, but yeah.
You can say anything you want. I like how we've been talking about like dead relatives and then you're like, spunked. Spunked. And took it a little farther.
Spunked is the funniest word. Oh my God. Just using that in a sexual context is so funny.
I heard that the other day when we were like actually in the podcast and I didn't know what that meant.
Oh, really? You just found that out right now?
Yeah, I did. I just found out now.
I remember the context now, which was that, was it your friends pranked your other friend by getting them a massage with a happy ending, or was that yes. Alistair? It was
yes.
your friends?
Yes, that was my friends.
Her friends got her other friend a massage and as a joke paid for a happy ending.
Yeah. Oh,
And then the guy was like, whoa, 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 whoa. But we were saying it'd be funny if it was like punked and it was Ashton Kutcher who was doing it. Spunked, and then spunked. That was it. That was exactly it. I'm so happy you now know what we're talking about.
It's all come full.
That's amazing.
You just came.
You just got spunked.
You just came, you fucking idiot. Yeah.
Let's go to the spunk cam right as you climax.
Spunk cam.
That's incredible. The spunk is my favorite word now.
Where's the spunk cam? On the masseuse's
it's
hand?
It's on the woman's necklace or something. Yeah, it's real
just
close
like a head
up.
Visor thing with a GoPro. Kelly, I didn't notice that.
I think we just found your next project, boys.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Get funny or die on the phone. It's called spunked, right?
Spunky town. No,
I want to take it to spunky town.
The theme song writes itself.
It really does.
That's great.
I love
that. Well, thank you for that word. I forgot about that.
Word of the day calendar. Yeah.
I the one you gave us is one punch, and I feel like they can go together somehow in an extremely graphic way.
Oh, no.
Punch the cum out of them. Out of all the press you're doing for this film, I feel like this is definitely the most least tasteful.
Yeah. Oh, it's the most fun though.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh,
I appreciate it.
We're doing a fundraiser, a series of podcasts for fundraisers, and it tends to go this direction too. So we're talking filthy for charity.
Yeah.
Hey man, whatever brings in the bucks. Yeah. If it's that's what people want to hear. Yeah.
Whatever brings in the spunks, I always say.
Oh goodness. Yeah. Mike's mom's not going to listen to this podcast.
Oh no. I'm sorry, Mike's mom. You are a star after all now. Things have changed.
Yeah,
things have changed.
Big time now.
I love that. Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming on, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
For heaven's sake, where can people see it?
They can see it in Canada on CBC Gem.
Okay.
And Paramount Plus is a new streaming service in the States. Oh. And it will be on there as well. All 8 episodes are available now.
Excellent. Well, congratulations, guys. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to you guys.
You got it. Nice to meet you, Micah Jackson.
All right.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.